And I forgot to mention, I think in the, when we have the questions, if you wouldn't mind using the microphone, that way it'll be recorded for the session, and those who are doing the e-learning will have the benefit of your questions and your answers. Sorry, I missed that.
Thank you for the introduction. And I'm going to be speaking about a linguistic and cultural competency toolkit that we developed at the California Family Health Council. And this toolkit was specifically developed for family planning providers in California. I don't have any disclosures to report. And these are the same objectives. My objectives for this presentation are the same as the ones listed for my abstract. I also have copies of the presentation up here. I know that you can download them from the APHA website, but the objectives are listed there. And hopefully by the end of my presentation, you'll be able to discuss the process by which we developed this toolkit and some ways in which the toolkit can help providers to enhance their skills. I first want to take a moment to mention the authors. There were many of us involved in the development of the toolkit, and I included the three members that worked on it the most, the key members, Donna Bell Sanders, Robin Loney Langton, and we did this with funding through the California Department of Public Health, the Office of Family Planning. We worked very directly with the Chief of the Office of Family Planning, Lori Weaver, under the contract listed for this for the 07-08 fiscal year. This is basically the cover of the toolkit, and I wanted to just mention to you, in case some of you are planning to leave early for my presentation, you are going to want to know how to get a hold of this toolkit, and I want to let you know up front that the toolkit is available for free. It's available online by going to the familypact.org website. And I'm going to spend a little bit of time telling you, giving you a little bit of the history of how we pulled this together, giving you a little picture of what the family planning providers and the clients in California, what they're like, and show you a couple of excerpts from the toolkit so you get an idea of how it works. Basically, the California Family PAC program is the California Family Planning program that serves the basically the low-income residents of reproductive age at no cost in the state of California. It's been around since around 1997. These are the Family PAC objectives by which the program is run, and mainly Their objectives are to increase access to family planning services, increase the use of effective contraceptives, and to improve the overall reproductive health of the clients. And mainly it's to limit or reduce the number of unintended pregnancies. Linguistic and cultural competency standards are a part of the program. The program has very extensive policies and procedures manual that all family planning providers need to abide by, and it lists a variety of requirements. But the Office of Family Planning very early on recognized the importance of incorporating linguistic and cultural standards into these policies. This is exactly the way they read in the manual. As you can see, they are they're good, but they're pretty vague. They're pretty open. It leaves a lot of room for interpretation, which in some ways is very good, but it's also hinders sometimes the provider's ability to understand what exactly it is they need to do, what are the expectations of these standards. The Family PAC providers in the state of California are not your traditional providers of publicly funded programs. We have over 2,000 providers, and well over 1,300 of them are from the private sector. And that refers to providers that are single doctor in one single doctor office. It could be a network of providers. It could be a couple of other, like a PPO type of a provider system. The public sector are what you normally see, like the community clinics or Indian Health Services. The other thing about our providers is that they are geographically spread throughout California. California is a very large state, and we have lots of providers in clusters. You can see where Los Angeles is down here, a big cluster of providers. We have big needs in Los Angeles, but we also have big needs in counties. This isn't focused very well, but in counties like Riverside and San Bernardino, where there are barely any providers. We have providers that sit all by themselves in rural areas. We have urban inner city providers, so they're pretty spread throughout. Also, the ability of these providers, the sophistication by which they've either have participated in programs that have trained them to provide linguistic and cultural services, it varies from provider to provider. This is a sort of an idea of the clients that we serve. We currently serve 1.6 million clients, and this is the diversity of the clients. As you can see, 80% of the clients are non-white, at least that they report to be non-white. So the diversity among the population that these providers are serving is pretty wide. Also, I want to mention the 65% of Latinos that basically report themselves as being Latinos. Of the Latino group, there's about half of them claim to be or report to be Spanish-speaking as their primary language. The other interesting aspect of the Latino population is that three-fourths of them are utilizing the private provider sector as opposed to the community, sort of the public sector. When we started developing this toolkit, as good health educators we are, the first thing that we said we needed to do was to define what cultural and linguistic competency was. That was the biggest issue with most providers, is trying to get a sense of what that definition is. We felt it was necessary to have a definition by which all providers would start at some baseline. So we developed this definition, and basically the ability of the providers to recognize and address the behaviors, values, practices, attitudes, and beliefs of clients is basically what increases their ability to serve these clients in this arena. There are two level of competencies that we included in this toolkit, which is very different from most tools that are available. Usually they focus on individuals or they focus on organization, but basically we actually are looking at both things. First, the assessment tool looks at the individual competency of the actual provider. And, you know, I use the word provider, but I'm really talking about anyone at the agency that interacts with the client, and staff at all levels, from reception to the person answering the phone, back office, could be a nurse, medical records department, etc. All of them have an impact, and all of them have a role in providing services. So this is basically focused mostly on their individual knowledge and how to use their knowledge to better serve their clients. For the organizational competence, really looks at the organization and the agency itself on how it deals with language needs. Do they have interpreter services? Do they use a language line? Do they, how do they work with community programs in their area to serve communities that they have limited access to? These are the variety of different things that the assessment tool looks for. In a linguistic and culturally competent practice, it's a win-win situation. Everyone wins. The providers, the staff, the organization, and the clients win. There's really no reason for organizations to incorporate this. When the provider better communicates with the client, then they start to see them adhere more closely to the recommendations they're making, and ultimately we see better health outcomes. When the clients find the services they receive to be respectful and honoring of their cultural beliefs and practices, they feel comfortable. They come back, and they recommend the services to other members of the community. We did start by looking at tools that existed, that were already in existence. There are many tools. Many of them are available for free, but many of them are designed specifically for a certain type of organization. I would say that the bulk of them are designed for large organizations like hospitals. or very large community clinics, large Planned Parenthoods. Planned Parenthood actually has a really good tool. But what we did is we took all of these tools, we picked five, the best five, and we evaluated them. We basically listed a couple of parameters we were going to look to compare all of these tools, and these are the areas that we looked for. We wanted to make sure that the tools were useful. How useful were they? How easy to use were they? By useful, I mean, what do they do with the information? Do they know what the next steps are? Okay, it's one thing to assess where you are. It's another thing if you just leave it there and not know what the next step is that you need to take. We're also looking for best practices. How many of them included? And are most of you familiar with the Office of Minority Health's class standards? Everybody? Pretty much? Okay, these are available through their website as well. And, you know, when these standards were initially written, I participated in the review process. I know the process it went through. It was very extensive. And so we were looking to see how many of the tools actually incorporated this. They have 14 standards, and all of the 14 standards are basically touched upon in the assessment tool. We came up with a list of the competent practices that the linguistic and culturally competent practices that we would expect all of our family planning providers to require them that they could meet. So we looked at a very, you know, at minimal, what should all providers be doing? And this is the list of the ones that we had come up with. And they're fairly easy to accomplish. We're also looking for easy to read client materials. Do they partner with community organizations? Do they post signs in languages of the clients they serve? Do they have materials available for those specific language needs? The toolkit itself is a self-assessment survey, and I actually gave you in the packets that were handed out. You have, if you open it up, you will see that in this packet, you will actually see a copy of one of the pages of the survey. It's section number one that goes over training and staff development. Okay? It's inside the packet. It's very easy to use. The survey, we provide instructions on administering and analyzing the results. We provide instructions on how to develop a strategic plan and a very extensive resource list at the end to help them develop a plan after they do the assessment. In addition to all of this, we also provided them tools. We provided them tools to tally the results, to make sense, how to analyze them, et cetera, how to score them, and how to identify the areas in which they needed to work on. The tool assesses four key areas: the training and staff development that I gave you a copy in your packet, agency capabilities, how well does the agency establish their services to serve the clients that they have, their health education capabilities, and administration in terms of things such as, you know, does the staff reflect the client population that they serve, or how closely does the board, if they are a community clinic, how closely is the board representative, et cetera. So I was talking about the survey itself. When you look at the questions are very easy to answer. We actually decided to write the questions in a way where we actually give them the answer of the right thing to do. We didn't want to make this a test for people to take. We wanted to make it as easy as possible. And the survey is basically fill out the little checks and you count the checks when you're tallying. We provide them with strategies for administering the tool. We talk to them about how to introduce it to their staff, how to get top management to support their efforts in doing this and support their effort in implementing the strategic plan. We really stress using this tool was designed to use with all staff, as I mentioned, stress the importance of anonymity if they want to really get a result that actually reflect the reality of the agencies in which they're serving. How to plan the process, how to group things in results in different groups. If you want to look at just nursing, how do you code it so you can just look at nursing, etc. And how to plan to organize the results. The scoring tools, and you've got these in your packet. I gave you a couple copies. Parts of these are actually pages from the toolkit that I took just to give you an idea. And we have tally sheets I mentioned. We have score sheets in here as well. So we actually provide them, trying to help them so that this using the tool is as easy as possible. Recording the results, it's just a matter of counting them all the way down. And transferring the results, this is like a tally sheet, the first page of the tally sheet where you're actually tallying all the various different languages that are being that either staff speak or the clients speak. So these are just little pictures of parts of the tally sheet. So as you can see, it's fairly easy. Looks easy, at least. We provide them with a guide to strategic planning, and we give them suggestions. So if you scored low in this category of staff training, what are a couple things you can do? We tell them to take baby steps, small steps. Take a couple steps you're going to do in the next year, in the next 6 months, and work from there. This is what the tool looks like for the strategic plan. It's very simple. They put their scores on there, and they actually can come up with activities that we provide for them, different activities that they can choose, and give themselves a timeline, et cetera, for completing those. And there is a page for each one of the four different components. And we provide this one of the highlights of this tool is really, if nothing else, the utilization of that resource list at the end. If we can keep up with the links that break all the time, and because everyone changes, these organizations are great organizations that keep adding to their website. So sometimes those links get broken, but we try to keep up with those. We have some great websites and a variety of other manuals and things that clinics can use, providers can use. If you have any questions on anything that I shared with you or have any specific questions about the toolkit itself, I'm available. I have for you, and you can pick up at the end, this is a summary of what I just presented. This tip sheet is actually something we also created for the family planning providers, giving them tips and ideas for using the tool, the toolkit. We also developed a tutorial. It's a tutorial. It's a PowerPoint presentation with an audio to walk them through how to use it, sort of technical assistance online. And we also produced a newsletter. We gave them and sent it out to all of our providers, a Family Pack Update newsletter that focused specifically on meeting the linguistic and cultural needs of their clients. And you can pick up copies of this. We have a booth in the exhibit hall, booth number 1236. 1236. I finally memorized it. Okay, I have copies of the tool and the toolkit. If you have any, that's it. Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions for Veronica at this time? Could you use the microphone, please? Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. You know, we went over and over again in terms of how to require family planning providers to use this tool. And we decided that we were going, because we wanted it to really ensure anonymity and confidentiality, we actually, in the how to use the tool section, we told them that they did not need to report any of the findings back to the Office of Family Planning. And it was for in-house use only, and that their responses were not going to reflect negative on them at all. There's not going to be any repercussions. So we basically couldn't necessarily force them to use it, but I will tell you anecdotally that we were able to slip a question into a survey we did over online where we were assessing their needs for health education materials and how they use them. And we slipped in a question about the toolkit and whether or not, number one, they knew it was available, number two, had they used it. And I hope I'm not misreporting this number. I have my directors in the back, so she can tell me if I am. I believe 23 providers answered that they've used the toolkit. So our next step is to figure out, I mean, It was an anonymous survey, so we have to figure out who said that, right? And we are in the process within the California Family Health Council to look for funding. We've already spoken to the endowment or other foundations about the possibility of them providing us some funding, seed money, to basically be able to evaluate and have our Title X agencies use this toolkit and do some sort of evaluation, because I really would want to know, is it enough? I mean, we've done everything that I think we possibly can right now. I'm sure we're going to come up with other things to enhance and make it easier to use, but you know, how much technical assistance do they really need? And we really didn't want to, once you look at the toolkit, you're going to realize it's not onerous at all. We really, every time we try to do something we really wanted, we'd always say, wait a minute, how onerous is this? Is this something they won't be able to do? So.
Any other questions?
Thank you. Thank you, Veronica. I was just going to comment that it struck me as I was looking through this toolkit that, you know, it's not just focused on training staff, but really taking an institutional approach to cultural competence and looking at the various levels in terms of administration, training, materials development, et cetera, and that the strategies, you know, not just the tool, but also the strategies for moving forward and improving the cultural competence and the linguistic competence of the agency. So thank you very much, Veronica. Our next speaker is Sujata Naik, and Sujata is a program officer with for research with the Institute for Reproductive Health at Georgetown University. She has her MPH from Tulane University, and Sujata has over 5 years' experience working in international public health, focusing on health communication, research, monitoring, evaluation, and at IRH, which is where I first met Sujata, we worked together on a community health worker manual, she leads a Madagascar project and participates in design, implementation, and dissemination of research and provides technical assistance and programmatic support. She's also lived in Madagascar and Haiti. Sujata will be speaking on using cognitive interviews to improve service delivery tools, especially the simplification of SDM, standardized method screening. Thank you, Sujata. Oh, I got to move forward here.